Chapter 1 September 1816 Holbrook Court, seat of the Duke of Holbrook. On the outskirts of Silchester. In the afternoon.
I am happy to announce that the rocking horses have been delivered, Your Grace. I have placed them in the nursery for your inspection. As yet, there is no sign of the children.
Raphael Jourdain, Duke of Holbrook, turned. He'd been poking a fire smouldering in the cavernous fireplace of his study. There was a reserved tone in his butler's voice that signalled displeasure. Or perhaps it would be more accurate to say that Brinkley's tone signalled the disgruntlement of the entire household of elderly servants, not one of whom was enchanted by the idea of accommodating themselves to the presence of four small female children.
Well, the hell with that,
Rafe thought. It wasn't as if he'd asked to have a passel of youngsters on the premises.
Rocking horses,
came a drawling voice from a deep chair to the right of the fireplace.
Charming, Rafe. Charming. One can't start too early making the little darlings interested in horseflesh.
Garrett Langham, the Earl of Maine, raised his glass toward his host. His black curls were in exquisite disarray, his comments arrogant to a fault, and his manners barely hid a seething fury. Not that he was furious at Rafe. Maine had been in a slow burn for the past few months.
To Papa and his brood of infant equestriennes, he added, tossing back his drink. Stubble it,
Rafe said, but without much real animosity. Maine was a damned uncomfortable companion at the moment, what with his poisonous comments and black humour. Still, one had to assume that the foul temper caused by the shock of being rejected by a woman would wear off in a matter of time.
Why the plural, as in rocking horses?
Maine asked.
As I recall, most nurseries contain only one rocking horse.
Rafe took a gulp of his brandy.
I don't know much about children, he said. But I distinctly remember my brother and me fighting over our toys, so I bought four of them.
There was a second's silence, during which the Earl considered whether to acknowledge the fact that Rafe obviously still missed his brother, dead these 5 years now. He dismissed the impulse. Manlike, he observed no benefit to maudlin conversation.
You're doing those orphans proud, he said instead. Most guardians would stow the children out of sight. It's not as if they're your blood. There's no amount of dolls in the world that will make up for their situation,
Rafe said, shrugging.
Their father should have thought of his responsibilities before he climbed on a stallion.
The conversation was getting dangerously close to the sort of emotion to be avoided at all costs. Sir Maine sprang from his chair.
Let's have a look at the rocking horses, then. I haven't seen one in years. Right,
Rafe said, putting his glass onto the table with a sharp clink.
Brinkley, if the children arrive, bring them upstairs, and I'll receive them in the nursery.
A few minutes later, the two men stood in the middle of a large room on the third floor, dizzily painted with murals. Little Bo Peep chased after Red Riding Hood, who was surely in danger of being crushed by the giant striding across the wall, his raised foot lowering over a feather bed sporting a huge green pea under the coverlet. The room resembled nothing so much as a Bond Street toy shop. Four dolls with spun gold hair sat primly on a bench. Four doll beds were propped atop each other, next to four doll tables, on which sat four jack-in-the-boxes. In the midst of it all was a group of rocking horses graced with real horsehair and coming almost to a man's waist.
Jesus,
Maine said. Rafe strode into the room and stamped on the rocker of one of the horses, making it clatter back and forth on the wooden floor. A door on the side of the room swung open, and a plump woman in a white apron poked her head out.
There you are, Your Grace, she said, beaming. We're just waiting for the children. Would you like to meet the new maids now?
Send them on in, Mrs. Beeswick.
Four young nursemaids crowded into the room after.